Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on, fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, man, what did that guy say?
He said fuck him, but I say fuck him, too, because we're looking at my other... I'm on a laptop because they fucked with my other... stationary shit.
Oh, and so we almost had a goddamn meltdown here,
folks. And I'm fucking pissed. They fucking zapped us right off the bat, cocksuckers.
Well, let me tell you about something. Do you have any idea what tomorrow is?
Don't forget the POWs and MIAs, Dave.
Did you read my notes when I was in the bathroom?
No, I didn't, Bill.
You knew that?
Yeah, I knew that.
All right,
Being a veteran, I know that, Bill.
I was at the shop today. I did a survey with all my customers coming at Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Not one person knew that tomorrow's POW MIA day. I want to read a little bit about it, guy, because it's kind of important to me. Friday, September 21st is the National POW MIA Recognition Day. The words "you are not forgotten" are displayed on the flag that honors America and prisoners of war and those in the military who became missing in action. In the forefront is a silhouette of a man's head, bowed in front of a guard tower and piece of barbed wire. The sentence "you are not forgotten" and POW MIA appear in the flag. Now this guy, Newt Heasley, I hope I said that, H-E-I-N, looks like... Well, you get it anyway, boys and girls. He designed the banner. He served as a pilot in World War II. While the flag itself dates during the Vietnam War, Heasley drew upon his experiences in World War II to create it. He flew missions across the Southern Pacific. Now, more than once, he thought his faith would be ended if the plane went down. He believed the worst thing that could happen to him would be to be taken prisoner and forgotten. He wasn't afraid of being a prisoner. He's afraid of being a prisoner and forgotten. In the 20th century, more than 142,000 Americans became POWs. I'd like to repeat that again, please. In the 20th century, more than 142,000 Americans became POWs. Some 40,000, presumably, are still alive today. Now that goes from World War through to Iraq, and there may have been more than, well, it's kind of crazy. They think 83,000 MIAs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me tell you something. I'm a vet. Phil's a vet. I keep thinking, I know America's going to be involved in conflicts the rest of our lives. But when I see our young sons and daughters going overseas, I believe my government has a moral obligation to bring my son and my daughter home. I'm not saying I'm a pacifist. I'm not saying that we can't go to war. Philip and I understand self-defense. It's part of our life.
Well, first of all, Bill, we got to tell everybody that we're on the phone, but we're not on the computer yet. They fucked with us again on this one, too.
All right. Bear with us. We're going to get through it. Philip's doing those magic fingers, whatever he does. He'll get it good and strong soon anyway. So let me go back to what I just said there. I believe if my government is going to send my son and my daughter, my sons and my daughters, all of our sons and daughters, overseas to fight, I think they have a moral obligation to bring our children home. If you can't bring our children home, don't send them overseas. That sounds kind of harsh. No, it's not harsh at all. We have drone airplanes. We have missiles. We have A-bombs. Bomb the shit out of these people. If we are going to send our sons and daughters into battle, We need to bring our sons and daughters home. We need for our families to have closure. Not just a statement saying that they died heroically. No, that's not enough. If the military is going to send our children to war, bring our children home. If we have to bury our children, give us something we can bury our children with. Now, the second thing I need to talk about, and is so important, all of our embassies are being overrun. Well, do not blame the Marine Corps. Each embassy around the world is
blame Obama. He took their ammo and their weapons away.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen?
He took their fucking ammo and their weapons away.
The Marines are doing exactly what they're told to do. They're told to pull back.
Follow last order first.
That's right. Do not blame our young sons and daughters in the Marine Corps that are defending our embassies. They would defend them with machine guns and cannons and slingshots and paper clips and rubber bands if they could. The orders are pull back. I applaud the Marines that are dying over there. I feel sorry for our American embassy personnel that are dying. But again, that is the policy of the United States government. Who is the commander-in-chief of all of the military, Philip?
President.
The president, exactly. It is his order for these military to pull back. I don't care how many times you read about American embassies being overrun. Do not blame the honor guard. They're being told what to do. And for all the deaths, of course, I feel bad. I spoke to the American Legion riders today. We had that Navy SEAL, and I'm sorry I forgot his name. He lives 12 miles from us. They buried him today. He did 20 years in the military and went back overseas. He was one of the ones killed in the last embassy. We need to bring those bodies home. We need to go back to every damn war there is that we were in. We were Vietnam, Africa, Dominican Republic, whatever wars I don't even know about. And we need to say to these people, okay, we had a war, the war's over. We're coming in full strength. And we want to bring every single POW MIA home. I love my country. I fear that my government just frustrates me. I would send my son and daughter over again. Philip would send his son and daughter over. But the truth of the matter is, Philip and I would feel better if we went over. I don't know if I want my children, or he don't want his children, going through this. So I ask everybody that when you talk to your senators, your congressmen, whoever's running for city council, whatever, tell them, we have left Americans overseas. Philip, what's that Marine Corps emblem for the shores of Montezuma?
No, from the shores of it's the Marine Corps hymn.
I know. It's right, giving it from the Montezuma. Halls of Montezuma, the shores of Tripoli. Thank you very much. We fought everywhere. I don't care if we're fighting for freedom. I don't care if we're fighting against. The point is we're sending our sons and daughters over there to do a job. They're doing a job. I do not want to sleep at night knowing that we left one of them in some hellhole of a country where they're probably being desecrated. The graves may be dug up, or they may still be in a POW camp. Wouldn't that be the shits? What about these countries that we're giving weapons to? What about these Arab countries that we're helping into democracy and they're spitting on America? Politics is one thing, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to rest well until I know we at least are trying to bring every single body home. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I want to say thank you for your indulgence again. I'm sorry I got off a little bit. I want to say hello to Stacy. Stacy, hello. Stacy, hello.
Hey.
Oh, my God. Were you asleep at the wheel?
No,
The trouble was over here.
Dude, I'm having technical difficulties. I just got, like, booted off twice.
We all have tonight. Thumbs up.
Yeah, and then when I first called in, it was like elevator music. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, they never late. I'm like, what's going on? And Nora's having problems too.
Everybody, something's going on across everywhere. That elevator is Phil's trying to get as many technical advice as he can. We're trying to get everybody we can Nobody seems to know what the problems are tonight, boys and girls. I don't know.
No. We're,
at some point in time, they're going to be shutting us all down. We know that. Next week, next month, next year.
They tried today.
This may be the first time that I've heard from people all across America making the same complaints at the same time. Seems a little scary, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely, you know. It's people ain't in control, somebody else is.
Did you hear my statement about the POWs, MIAs?
Absolutely.
All right, that's tomorrow. We're going to celebrate that POW MIA Day. I did a survey at my motorcycle shop today. Not one person, well, Smarty Pants Screwdriver knew it. Not one person knew tomorrow was POW MIA Day. We don't even know it. And yet, it's our sons and daughters we left over there. Do you care to comment on that?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's ignorance upon people. You have to remember everybody. You can't forget the people who put their country first before themselves, you know, and nobody should be left behind, and they should do everything within their power to make sure everybody gets home. And, you know, whether that be they've passed on or they're still there, you're absolutely right. Families need closure, and, you know, amongst several different other things, and it's just right. It's a moral of, you know, I think respecting the person that gave everything to make sure that we're able to have some freedoms and liberties.
Do you know that in North Korea and South Korea, the 38th parallel, do you know that to this day we are still having peace talks? Are you aware of that? That war is not...
Yeah, to some degree, because I had a buddy who, within the last 10 years, he was stationed somewhere out in Korea, and he's Army. And he, you know, over the years, we corresponded back and forth through email, et cetera. And, you know, he used to tell me different things. So, you know, on some level, I'm not going to tell you I know everything, because I don't. But, you know, on some level, I do know some things.
That war is still going on. We have not got a truce.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have any POW MIAs left? Well, we know during the war, during the Korean War, that's the first war America ever had where no one escaped. Now, I could be wrong on that, but my research says, and I'll repeat it again, no one escaped. And, of course, do we have any people that turned over and joined the North Koreans? Yes, we did. Many, many Americans decided to stay in North Korea, and they're living there today. But I wonder how many there, if there are any POWs, MIAs left. I don't know. I know there are some still living there which won't come home because of the shame they brought upon their families. Now, I'm not a crazy man. I don't want to go there and drop bombs all over North Korea. But I got a theory. You see, when these little babies we have and they shit in their diapers, we don't know what to do with that stuff. I'm thinking we fill the airplanes up, and we bomb the whole country of North Korea with shitty diapers.
There you go.
What do you think about that idea? Is that too radical?
No, that's great, you know, and we get rid of all the diapers out of the landfills, right?
That's all right. What I'm thinking.
Hold on a second. I'm gonna mute Canada here for a minute or two, and then we'll get back.
Canada, oh Canada, are you out there?
Petra Bill, how you doing, guys?
All right tonight.
Oh,
we're
wow.
Having technical difficulties everywhere. How are you picking
the
program?
Yeah, I heard that. And with the shit bombing, that is a fabulous idea. You're a crazy man. Believe me.
This is your responsibility. Keep me on track. When
that's
I start
right,
getting
brother,
too,
that's right.
Let me out, say, Bill, come back, Bill. I'm out there. But,
yeah, well, we love you, man. Don't ever change.
Thank
brother.
You for that, girls. Canada, you got no problem with your computer system, huh? You're okay?
No, actually, my computer's zapped out. Oh, I'm on my phone right now, brother. I always use the phone because they fucked up my computer.
Yeah, that's what we'll
They deleted shit off my computer, and it's got to be high-class people, motherfuckers, that done this, because nobody else can. And there's no reason for anybody else to zap into my computer.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
you know, we're not talking about anything that's dishonest. Or we're just people talking about current events, and they're so paranoid to let us talk. When I go down to Mexico, you know, never mind carrying a gun. Carrying a bullet in Mexico is a felony. Carrying a CB in Mexico is a felony. They don't want the middle class people, well, there really is no middle class, excuse me, in Mexico that's rich and poor. They don't want the poor people to have ammunition, weapons, or they don't want them access to communication. This all we have left is communication. The fact that we can all talk together, what's on our mind, once they take that away from us, what are we going to have left, boys and girls?
You're so right, Bill. I mean, we're neighbors. I'm a Canadian. You guys are Americans. I love you, and I'm watching your country just take everything away from you guys, and it hurts me. It fucking hurts me because you guys are great people, and they're just out of control.
Well, the sad thing is we have some intelligent people on the line tonight, and none of us have a clue as to how we can get by it.
Oh, but I got
exactly. What is the next step? Exactly. Nobody really knows what the best step would be to get this over.
Stormy Montana's birthday. Is she on the line, or are we just saying happy birthday to her?
Happy birthday.
If anybody who doesn't know Stormy Montana, she is quite a talented singer out of Nashville. No.
Yeah, Nashville.
Nashville. Okay.
She lives in Dresden, Tennessee.
Dresden, Tennessee. There we go.
Yeah. Right. She's a good friend of mine, Bill.
Oh, okay.
How you doing, Story?
No, she's on the line tonight. Philip just caught it up on his machine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, she's a great girl, man.
Yeah, she was what used to be. Her and I were married for a couple of years, but it didn't work out.
I know when you're bullshitting, brother.
So funny. When she got to be about 16 or so, you know, enough of that marriage stuff, you know.
Oh, you're good.
Okay back there, you know.
I hear you.
Hang on, we got another caller.
Who do we got today? Who? What's the number?
336.
336, you're live. Talk to us. Tell us who you are and where you're from, please.
This is Old Joe. I'm a friend of Old Bill's. Used to be a regular listener.
All right.
He had to go on vacation for a little while, and so he just wanted me to call in and say hey to everybody for him, especially my friend from the Great White North up there.
I got to stop you there because Philip and I, when our friends go on vacation, is it a government-paid vacation or is he on
this is a
vacation.
Okay,
we worry about that all the time.
This is not the gray bar vacation. This is the vacation when something just comes back to bite you in the ass and you got to lay low just for a little bit of time. You know, we're gonna have to probably relocate. That's a long story, but I was telling my friend from the Great White North here about it a little bit. He knows what I'm talking about somewhat. And it's just one of them things, man. You know what I'm saying? You can't have peace.
Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this shit comes back to bite you in the ass, and it's got to be, you know, dealt with one way or the other, but you just don't want to deal with it in a way where you do get that vacation. You know, if you can help it.
You know, I want to take a moment and applaud and thank our Canadian friends. I was down in Mexico recently, and I got in a little bit of hot debate with some of my Mexican friends because during World War II, Mexico said, we don't care. And then during Vietnam, Mexico said, we don't care. Pretty much, Mexico has watched America fight the war. Canada stepped in, England stepped in, France, blah, 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 blah. But we have got two neighbors, Philip, right? We have Canada above us, Mexico below us. And my Mexican friends say, it's not our business, Bill. We're not going to get involved. Now, saying this quickly, many Mexican friends of mine crossed the border, and they went to Vietnam on their own fruition. I applaud those people, but it's the Canadian government that I don't think we applaud enough to say, hey, you know what? You guys did an awful lot to help us out. We certainly, I say us, I mean the whole free world. I don't mean Americans. Canada could have stuck up there, but they said no. They realize the fact that it's a global war, they had to help us out. So if we don't say enough to our Canadian friends now, let me say thank you very much. And all the help you gave us in Vietnam. Us meaning the free world again. I don't mean us Americans.
And we got a personal invitation to Joe Tatro's. I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is a flash. Joe Tatro just opened, it's called Uncle Joe's Pizza on Fremont Street, so we're invited down there when we hit Vegas at the end of the month, though.
Wait. Did I get a free piece of pizza? What the hell?
Yeah, we get free pizza.
All right. I'll go 300 miles to get a piece of pizza, goddamn it, right now. In fact, there's a member of the Iron Crossman Motorcycle Club. Philip and I were down in Arizona partying a couple of months ago, and he said if I get up to Las Vegas, he is the president of a meatpacking company, and he said if you come into Vegas, Mr. Kennedy.
He's going to pack your meat?
No, he's going to give me the biggest steak in all of it.
Okay.
So I'll drive 300 miles to get myself a steak, and now I'll get a piece of pizza. Damn it, we're good to go. Did you get a piece of steak?
No.
Not invite you shit. No, you know what?
No, I got pizza.
Oh, well, okay.
I'd rather have pizza.
Well, okay. Philip and I are very, very mobile. I'm saying this because, not bragging, because we're blessed with it. Not always do we get to be at the same event. Coming up the 27th or 28th.
No, you know, speaking of that, people are saying I'm wearing too much of one thing and not enough for the other, Bill.
You know, there's
like you said, the haters are going to come out.
You know, it's sad that you have to wake up in the morning and look to see what color your clothes are.
In the dark.
Yeah. Never mind writing or anything, just the color of your clothes. Phil was at an event in Los Angeles, and I got calls because of the color combination of outfits he had on. I said, Jesus. But let that go. Anyway, so I was saying, we don't get together that often, mostly because I find his company boring, but we will be together in Vegas. And this is, I'm pretty grateful for that. I don't spend as much time with you as
I'd
like to.
So while you're getting your meat packed, I'm going to go have some pizza.
That's trouble.
You know.
It's like double fun with the both of yous in Vegas. Oh, my God. The town will never be the same.
I agree.
Trouble, him getting his meat packed or me eating pizza?
Don't you guys worry about him in Vegas. He'll be in bed by 8 o'clock. Don't worry about that shit.
Yeah, double trouble.
I'll be at the strip clubs, and he'll be in bed by 8 o'clock, guys, with his one piece of pizza.
That's a hell of a picture.
Oh, it's sad. Sad and lonely.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a mute button.
Mm. But what we're saying about the fact that we are glad that we're going to Vegas, because once again, there's events going on, which we're all over the world. We have some callers coming in tonight. About an event coming up you're doing?
Yeah, they'll be here. They'll be on at 7.
Let's not talk about that then tonight again.
No.
Phillip's going up north.
In fact,
one of them
is doing a PSA for the Love Ride at Glendale Harley-Davidson there right now as we speak.
All right.
The other two are doing a PSA for the Mission Run.
Yeah.
And we got another caller from 304, so hold on, guys.
Don't anybody go anywhere. 304, tell us who you are and where you're from, please.
Hello, 304. Did you want to talk or just listen?
304, we're boring. We need you to help us out.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll talk. Go ahead.
Tell us who you are, where you're from, please.
Hey, it's Lee Henry. I'm from Huntington, West Virginia.
Oh, how you doing, brother?
Oh,
hey, buddy.
How you doing, Lee?
Hey, pretty
good,
man.
How's your computer doing tonight? Do you have any problems?
Huh?
Do you have any problem with your computers tonight?
No, I just got on a little bit ago.
Good deal. Okay. Mike, go ahead. What do you want to talk about, brother?
Hey, it don't matter. Shoot something out there.
Well, tomorrow is POW MIA Day.
That was where we started talking about the importance of, like I said, if we're going to send our sons and daughters overseas, I think we have a moral obligation to bring my sons and daughters home.
Me too.
I'm not against violence. Philip and I are trained in self-discipline. I understand you have to defend yourself, but I feel that I don't want my government saying to me, we need your sons and daughters, but once it's over, they may be stuck over there. How many people are still in Vietnam in POW camps? I don't know. How many people in MIAs? They're going back as far as Vietnam, Korea. We don't know how many numbers. The numbers I read earlier, who knows? I think we're going to send Americans over, bring Americans back. That's all I'm saying, folks.
Hey, me too. I agree with that.
So how did you find out about the show, Lee?
A buddy of mine in Canada.
Oh, okay.
I got on Facebook and he told me to give it a call.
Oh, okay. And what did he tell you? Were a couple of crazy guys or what?
Well, he told me on Facebook there. I just got in from work there a little bit ago and tagged in there, and he's telling me about it. So I thought, well, I'll give it a call. You ain't gonna hurt nothing.
Well, I think we're pretty normal guys. We just ride motorcycles, and we're blessed that we live in the part of San Diego where we ride all the time. And because of so many activities, we're always kidding each other. Philip goes north, I go south. He's in Hollywood. If you like that bullshit. I'm more real with the people, you know. I'm
so
the people.
Am I. They're real people.
Oh, you with the Hollywood stars.
They're real people.
TV stars, movie stars. Yeah, they're not the people, you know. Somebody's got to be with them. I understand, Philip.
Go ahead, Casey. I know you're dying to say something.
Ah, social butterfly.
You, sweetheart.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad you called
in. What's going on in West Virginia?
Huh?
What's going on in West Virginia?
Hey, yeah, just a lot of work. Pouring concrete and doing roofs. What I do, construction, ride my bike every chance I get.
Well, God bless for that, Jim.
Yeah, there's nothing a full tank of gas won't cure.
Mm. I hear you, brother. They ain't nothing like riding down the road.
I have a motorcycle shop in Oceanside, California, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. I drive the motorcycle every single day. We had rain last week. I rode through the rain. I'm not trying to say I'm hardcore. What I'm saying is I need the ride to and from to keep my head on straight.
Sometimes I worry about
UPS. I worry about all this bullshit things that are going on in my business. The riding is what keeps my head on straight.
Amen.
And I'm going out to the desert next week with Philip. And I'm going to have that desert burn the evil out of me so I can get to Las Vegas, where I'll fill it up with more evil, I guess. But
well, I know you're going to get your meat packed.
I'm going to have a party in Vegas, you know. And you'll be in bed by 8 o'clock, like I told you. The whole public knows that, you know. Riding through the desert, well, much as I hate the desert, I have to tell you, Philip and I are in Mexico a lot. Riding through the desert, the desert is clean. I don't know if I can describe this correctly. Sure, the desert's hot and all that, but the desert is clean. There's no industries and there's no people and there's no, if you break down, you're screwed. But the point is that I need to know there's a place I can go where I don't have to worry about cars. And however, I have to keep an eye in my mirror overhead because the police do have airplanes. Jesus, if I don't have enough goddamn problem driving the road, I have to look up for airplanes overhead. I'm in the middle of the desert. Honestly, who cares how fast I'm going? You know, I got airplanes overhead. You got airplanes down there following you on the freeways in Virginia?
West Virginia?
Yes. You have airplanes following you?
No, not on the highways.
Shit.
They got cameras up.
Oh, cameras, shit. I got airplanes falling over above me. Imagine how, well, you know what? I'm not going to quit.
Don't ever quit, Phil.
No. Philip and I do go into Mexico an awful lot because Mexico is wide open. There's no cameras, no airplanes.
No, they pull up and say, follow me.
Yeah.
Because they know where we're going.
There's something special about Mexico, too. Is the country crooked? No, it's not crooked. It's different. If something happens in Mexico, I think the word I want is, Philip, you're more Espanol than I am. Mordita?
Mordita.
Yeah, the bite. Senor, you ran through two stop signs. Did I? maybe $20, and you could give that to the chief of police. And
widows and orphans.
And I'm gone. You know what? Now, am I bribing them? Yeah. Do I feel bad? No. In America, if I ran two stop signs, I'd have to go to court, take a day off. You know what?
No, down there, you go right to court. You don't take a day off.
No, say it came to America.
Oh, America,
yeah. So I don't have a problem with Mexico.
Buddy mine told me to get that.
I don't know if anybody else is. Anybody listening tonight ever been to Mexico?
Yeah. I have.
Good man. What part of Mexico?
I went down to Venezuela once, and what the hell was the other place? It was fucking 1986 I went there. And it was a great time. Senior Frogs, I was hitting all those fucking places left and right, just getting drunk and having a great time. But, I lost my passport a few years back. So, yeah, it's been a while. I'm going to get it back in January.
May I say something? Interrupt. 2-3 weeks ago, Philip and I were in Mexico, and we're down this Solo Angels, the largest motorcycle organization in Mexico. Their big party they had, 1,500 Mexicans were at the party, a few of us white boys. Philip says to me, it's time to go home about midnight or something. We're going to head back to America. He goes, I don't have my passport. we got across the border, though, but, you know.
Put in, no problem. Coming back, no. I forgot it.
He forgot his passport.
It's a hard time. That's where they fuck you.
They didn't really fuck with us.
They didn't give a shit.
Bill had the harder time than I did.
Well, I had a passenger that. Anyway.
Yeah, that.
No,
the guy was more worried about my hammer.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to you guys, Bill's always got the worst problems out of both of you. What the hell is fucking going on over there?
You say Phil or Bill?
Bill.
Thank you for acknowledging that. I have to put up.
I pay attention, brother, man. Come on.
I always have to put up the gist of everything. I'm telling you, it's like cartoon with that guy Peanut or something. Where he's got not a Peanut, Linus. He's got that dark cloud over his head.
Yeah, exactly. Always follows him around. Yeah.
It just happens, and I wouldn't miss a day of it. I wouldn't miss a day of it, boys and girls. I appreciate every day the fact that we can roll. Philip and I are pretty much okay at any basic motorcycle club event there is because we're so mobile. But you can't ride as many miles as we do without the proverbial broke this, broke that, flat tires, rain, snow, everything happens to us. But again, we wouldn't quit for a day, not even for a second, too.
Yeah.
So you are going to, what are you doing this weekend? Let's tell some people.
This weekend I'm going up to, I'm going to have dinner with Paul Renteria and Emilio.
So where's that at?
I'm going to start out at Paul's house and go from there.
Is that in Hollywood?
Rosemead.
He's going up to Hollywood again, everybody.
Hollywood.
That's what he does all the time, I'm telling you, you know.
He wants to get into a movie.
I think so, boys and girls.
Well, you know,
he's been in enough damn magazines, for God's sake. Well, wait a minute, you were in a movie. We did a couple of movies, but you never notice us, but that's another story.
No.
Because if you blink, our whole thing is gone, but what the hell. But anyway, you're going to do it. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to present him with that painting that the guy made and that Gustavo Vasquez painted of him.
Uh-huh.
On that picture when he came into the Bad Ride, they made a real
nice painting. You're talking about Emilio now.
Right.
Okay.
They made a real nice painting for him, and we're going to present that to him for all the things he's done. Paul's already got his, and
That sounds pretty high-tech. That sounds pretty, you know, uptown to me.
Yeah,
may I share with you what I'm doing?
Sure, go ahead.
Saturday night?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to Ladies Roller Derby.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. And then Sunday morning at Kennedy's Customs Cycles, we have a motorcycle swap meet going on. So I'm going to roller derby for women's roller derby Saturday night. Then I'm doing a motorcycle swap meet. And you're up there in Hollywood with all the TV stars again.
Yeah. Don't be a hater.
I'm just saying, I want our people to understand what it's like out here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just out here.
Yeah, you're
all
going to hang up now.
I'm just doing the best I can to get through. And here you're up in Hollywood all the time. Hollywood.
So is I gotta ask, is Emilio gonna be on tonight or?
Bill should be here. Emilio's doing a public
PSA,
service announcement
yeah.
for Glendale Harley Davidson, which does the Love Ride, and Paul's doing PSA with Martin Resendez for El Jefe for the mission run.
Mission run means to help all the homeless people in Los Angeles. It's
right.
another good positive.
And what they're doing is they're going to call in at 7:00.
Yeah, I've heard about the mission run, and man, you guys do so much help for everybody. I congratulate all of you guys, Bill, Phil, everyone of you guys. You guys have so much heart. Man, I love yous.
You don't give back what you know much of a man or a woman, you know. If whatever you have to be grateful for what you have, and you have to say, I have to help somebody else. And if you can help a child, you can help a homeless person. I think that's, you know, all of us are just one accident away from being on welfare or unemployment. It's a crazy world. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that. And then after November, you'll be fighting for it when 40 million motherfuckers come from the South or all over.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's going to happen.
I don't know. I was going to talk about some tax stuff, but I'm going to skip. I don't feel like talking about that tonight. We're all going to be taxed if you don't have your uninsured, but yeah, the hell with all that. We'll skip that for another night. That sounds depressing already.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about, oh, in case you hadn't ever gone to the Love Ride, I encourage everybody to look it up.
We were involved in the filming of 17.
We have our own video out, et cetera, et cetera.
And no, I wasn't smiling in that one either.
No. But that's the world's largest one-day motorcycle rally. It is in Los Angeles, and I was fortunate enough a couple years ago to jump a plane and fly into Frankfurt and leave Stuttgart with a bunch of my partners over there. We rode down to Zurich, Switzerland, and they had the European Love Ride. That was quite impressive. Really impressive. So if you get a chance to look up the Love Ride, it's wild. It's like everybody in Daytona showing up for one afternoon, then leaving. It's beyond control.
Right.
Four Sturges. Everybody go one day, and then we only... In the old days, because they may change the destination, we would leave Glendale, Harley-Davidson, Los Angeles. We'd go on a 50-mile tour to Lake Castaic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the first group of celebrities was pulling into Lake Castaic, 50 miles away, there were still people in the parking lots trying to get on the freeway. That's how long the line went, over 52 miles. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, and every overpass, there's people hanging with banners and flags, and it's a wonderful feel-good day. And the money they collect went to children's programs, Reading by Nine, and all kind of stuff with that. So it's a good organization. And if you ever want to see, you ever come to California because you want to see a TV star, that's it. Jay Leno, Peter Fonda.
Everybody.
Sons of Anarchy, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of the, you name it. A lot of the young, hot actresses want to be seen, so they're all there, too. So I've heard. I've never met any, but, yeah.
Well, that's because you don't go north. I go north, you go south. See? Now, if we switched, you...
No, I'm saying I haven't met any because I'm married and I'm on the air.
Oh.
So, you see... Me this here.
Sure, go for it.
Okay, because you know.
Hey Phil, Nora's still having problems trying to get through.
Tell Nora to just call in.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she's been trying. She's not even getting nowhere with that.
I don't know what to tell you. I know that
tonight everything is on the fritz.
Hey. Are
you somebody? Who's that?
I don't know. There's someone in the background talking. They might be from West Virginia.
Well, yeah, that's my buddy Lee Henry from West Virginia. I got him the phone, guys. And I got another buddy from Florida trying to get in on the phone, and he can't get in either. So I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Tony, it's nationwide. Something's funky.
Yeah, because...
we have one computer system down, and we've had to jerry-rig another program here. Okay, we didn't do shit. Philip did it all. But we have another whole computer system here, and we're having still difficulties.
Well, that's all right, though. These things will happen. You know that has happened before.
I'm not worried about it. They're I'm using a Wi-Fi connection right now. They're trying to fuck with that, as Bill can tell you, as I'm fucking beating them off here at the same time.
That's fucking unreal. I mean, you guys should have the right to say what you want to say. Free country. Where the hell did that go?
Oh, you know, I don't want to censor anybody. I don't want this to be a hate show.
No, I understand
but
that.
I would give everybody an opportunity to say something, providing you allow us a chance to give a rebuttal. That's all we're saying there. So I don't see anything wrong with the show. I think it's informative. Philip and I try to tell you some of our programs, and I remind everybody the title of the show is Phil and Bill, but it's all of our shows. If you people won't call and talk to us, if you won't tell us what you're doing, what the hell are Philip and I here for? He and I have been together for many, many years. I often wonder what the hell we're doing here together. But as long as we have you people here, I can put up with him. So please keep calling in.
Well, you know, I never miss a show, Bill.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
got to be torture putting up with him.
It's hard,
John. Please, don't antagonize.
It's hard.
Oh, Bill, I have complete sympathy for you. I do.
Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. Sure you do.
We go on these big runs, and I just sit in the corner all by myself, real quiet, and he's a social butterfly out there bouncing all around, and I'm just all by myself, all alone.
Oh, my God. I highly doubt that, though. I could see you sitting around with, like, I don't know, some nostalgic type of people who are wise or have wisdom, but not by yourself. I can't picture that.
No, you know, I really think that.
I doubt that.
Oh, man. You're getting your fucking meat packed here, too.
I do appreciate that. Whenever we go on a run, I just crossed the border recently, and there was 200 members of this one motorcycle club. And I pulled up, and they said, Bill, come in here and meet the people. And I said, I don't want to meet any of your people unless they're 10 years or longer. I said, is there anybody here? They said, well, there's a few of the old guys. I said, bring them up. I'm going to sit. I want to talk to everybody. Anybody in your club that doesn't have at least 10 years on, I don't want to meet them because I'm crotchety, I'm irritable. I don't know if the younger people are going to stay. I got friends in motorcycle clubs 30 years. I got friends going across the board. These are people, I don't care what patch you're wearing. I'm going to tell you right now, you're in the club that long. I've known you that long. I trust you. I trust you completely. You're not in the club at least 10 years, and I know some younger guys get mad. Hey, Bill, I got a great heart. I'm sure you do. Come back and visit me in 10 years. I would just rather surround myself exactly what you said, with a lot of gray beards, with a lot of respect, with a lot of power. I don't need to be around crazy young people. Let them be about a half a block away doing stupid things. I'm just not interested.
That is, you're so right, Bill. You're fucking 100% right. Let them do their own fucking shit.
I remember when I first started the club scene, I swear to God, I thought guys 24 and 26 years old were old. The old guys kept trying to keep us young guys out. I'm not against young guys coming in. I mean, they have to replace us.
Right.
What I'm saying is the young guys have to pay respect to the old guys. Pay respect to the guys that have done the time.
That's
pay respect to the guys that can see the big picture. And
exactly.
I'm telling you,
the other thing is, I want to let everybody know we don't have a chat room tonight, though.
Sorry about that, guys. It is so important, again, for especially us older guys in different clubs to sit at a table and show the young kids, hey, wait a minute, these guys aren't going to war. And now, there are times in California when we cannot because of politics. Right now in California, to my knowledge, everything is going copacetic. So anywhere I go, we can sit down and talk. And it's just nice seeing faces that I've known for many, many, many years. And not that I'm going to pick a side, but I want to point out that Sonny Barger turned 75 years old in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Sonny been around a long time. There is, and I say this because one of the national peas of all Mongols.
Yeah, what's up, man?
75 years old next week.
I mean, these are the people
that I need to speak with so we can talk about, do you remember when it happened 20 years ago? That didn't work out. Do you remember this? Remember that? These are the people I want to be around. People that have been through the wars. People understand you have to pay a price for freedom, for peace. And people have to understand that if you fuck up, you're going to pay the price of that, too. That's why I want to be around older people. I want to be around men of respect. I guess that's... God, I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting way off track again. I asked you people, don't let me get off track.
You're on track, Bill. You're just saying what you got to say. And you're 100% right, like I said. You know, I'm 51 years old. I'm younger than you. My mom is 74. She's younger than Sonny. But, you know, we all tie in together. And I know what respect is. You know, I'm younger than you, Bill, but I'll tell you, if I ever met you face-to-face, I'd have your back 100%.
I appreciate that. And I've got to say this right now. Everybody that is with me does have my back. I don't have a weak link anywhere. And I'm not trying to say I'm a big organization or anything. I'm saying that people I'm with, just exactly how you described it,
Exactly.
They have
brother.
My back. They know that we'll all take care of each other. That exactly. makes you a small number, makes you strong. Having a lot of people, but having a weak link, you know, you're susceptible to making a mistake in there.
Yeah.
Strong, tight unit. And everywhere we go, I was down in Mexico just recently with Philip, and some of the Solo Angels, the oldest Mexican club, they ran up to me, Hola, Bill, I love you. And I can't say a word of Mexican. And that's about the end of their English. It doesn't matter. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I was down in Mexico involved in a lot of stuff, and they say, man of respect. You don't have to have a long conversation with me. You just have to watch my lifestyle. If you do something 100 times, and you do it 99 times right, and one time you do it wrong...
That's the one time everybody remembers.
Pay attention to that, boys and girls. So it's a 7-day, 24-hour, you gotta get respect, you gotta give respect, but you gotta live your life with respect. You gotta hold your head up high.
We got another caller from 508. Bill.
Another call, 508. Please rescue Bill Kennedy. Tell us who you are and where you're from, please.
Bill, I got your back too, you know.
Listen, I got some strong sisters. Without a doubt, you have no idea some of the strong sisters I have. Thank you.
I got your back.
Thank you.
And I hope you have mine.
State you're from.
I'm from Massachusetts, Bill.
I know that, child, but I want everybody else to know that the different people calling in, because we have some first-time callers, and I want everybody to understand how we flip-flop around the country and across the world, because I don't want to forget
because we're on. We're
on. You know, we haven't got nothing from Mexico in a while. I don't know what their problem is down there. If
how
you look
doing,
around there,
Phil?
You're good.
How you doing, Phil?
Good. How are you, Eunice?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And how's my friend from Canada?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Eunice. I apologize I didn't phone you back the next day. I just started working on the bike. I had a little wiring problem. Solved that and just started riding.
How'd you feel?
I feel good, and I appreciate what you told me that night. It was a great show. Thank you.
Yeah.
You helped me out a lot.
Well, I helped myself out, too. That's
that's
all about.
Yeah.
Right,
Bill doesn't know what we spoke about that night, but Phil will probably fill him in on it. It was a great show. It turned out to be a fantastic show, to be honest with you.
Good. Well, I believe by helping others, you help yourself.
That's right.
Exactly.
Do.
Exactly. We're old.
But I
got to
say right now, and I will give you a hand up. I will not give you a hand out. I'll give you a chance to get on your feet. I will not carry your ass. You've got to stand as a man or a woman on your own. In fact, people ask me about my racism. I'll give every man or woman a chance to show to me they're a man or a woman. If I accept them as a man or a woman, then they tell me, hey, I'm Chinese, I'm Japanese. I don't give a shit what race you are. I'm telling you, if I don't respect you as a man or a woman, don't worry about the rest of the shit. You ain't never going to be friends of mine. If I respect you as a man or a woman, that's the key to everything, boys and girls. Even if I don't like you, as long as I respect you, that's good.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you something, Bill and Phil. You've got a lot of respect through the whole world, you know, and I learn that more and more each week when I keep in contact with you guys. You know, you do a lot of good work. Yes, Dad.
Thank you. Hold on one second. I'm going to have to they're trying to jam with the computer again. The other one... I'm watching the guy work on it right now, but the one I'm doing right now, I'm not doing this on purpose, but I'm going to mute the other callers because I'm getting some feedback, and once everybody's talking, done talking, we open up for questions, I'll bring you back on. But for right now, you're okay, Eunice, go ahead and talk.
You're live, you're just with us.
But I don't want anybody to get offended if I don't hear them.
We dropped you, but we're going to get right back on this. So again, tonight's going to be a lot of... problems, but, you know, come on, guys. We've had worse shit than this before.
Right.
Hey, listen, why do they do that to you guys? You know, I just don't understand it. They're not very patriotic.
No.
No.
It's not me, though. It's Philip. Just Philip. I'm sure of that.
You know, that's too bad. You know, that's really too bad.
They had a better partner, so I got stuck with, you know, what the hell.
Well, you couldn't get stuck with a better partner, let me tell you. You know?
Yes.
I mean,
hey,
it works.
He's talking shit now, but
damn,
when we go
me.
Somewhere, I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead.
I was in the middle of something.
I'll take a short nap. Go ahead.
I was in the middle of something. And what, 25 or 30 on one side, five or six on the other side?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of it trying to stop that shit.
Yeah.
I holler out to you, and we're back to back, calming down the crowd. Because motherfuckers were driving in 30 an hour, dropping their bikes and running over to jump in this
shit. Well, it was a full on Pier 6 brawl. And I got to tell you something. Okay, I'm 63 years old. Okay. More shit going on, and cars are being destroyed with people's faces bounced off of. He's yelling at me, and afterwards he said, "Why did you walk over? What the hell's the use of my running? It was still going to be there when I got there." He said,
right.
"I can't believe you walked over." Hey, you know, I was there. I was going to get there eventually. It's no big deal. I find out that he who runs into a full brawl really gets his head knocked in. So I always find that my walking in and kind of moving people around with my hands without hitting them, it kind of diffuses things a little bit. But that was probably one of the worst ones we've had in a long time. 50 people probably was an accurate number. And the one guy whose head got bounced off the van mirror, oh, man.
The mirror was destroyed. The fun part was when the guy walked in and said, "Bill, do you think I could ask you to take..."
Yeah, yeah. I got a shit going on here, and this guy's wondering about, you think they'll go better? Yeah, no, they won't. And I had to bring both sides in one at a time and patch them up, because I couldn't bring them in together. And, you know, the fight's over the next day, and they came in separately, and they were wearing all their cuts on their face like battle wounds. I love to be around young guys when they fight because, man, yeah, look at me. Yeah, I was cool, Bill. Yes, you were. But anyway, so he's bad-mouthed me again because he's out there, blah, blah, and I walked across the street. You know, what's the story about the young bull and the old bull? Does everybody know that story?
No, I don't.
Okay, the young bull and the old bull were on top of the hill overlooking a herd of cows. And the young bull says, "Let's run down and knock one off." The old bull says, "Let's walk down and knock them all." That's me, the old bull. We're going to be there when I get there, guys, you know.
Well, you know something, Bill? I'm older than you are.
I've had a hard life. I have Phil for a partner. You don't have Phil for a partner. I do want to say something, though. Before you get off,
man.
I had a beef up in L.A. a little while back with, what was the numbers? 100? More?
More than that.
Yeah, it was more than 100. And, what I said was, and I wasn't paying too attention, I asked the officers of this organization, "Hey, why don't the four of you and me just go back over here?" I said to Philip, "Stay here." What I meant was, don't come in the back because I don't think this is going to come out nice. Never moved.
So in the pack of 100 of them, with my arms folded,
you wouldn't fucking
wearing something totally different than what they were wearing,
something they hate,
and out of the back of the crowd, thinking to see if I'm going to get knifed. Back of the crowd I hear, "Is that motherfucker going to stand there?"
"Yeah, big balls."
And you heard them. That's what they said. Or that's what they told them to do. And then you heard, "That little fucker's got big balls."
When we stepped out of the meeting, we were there for a little bit, back and forth, you know, yada, 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 yada. And I came out, there he's still standing with his arms crossed. And I said, "God damn, he ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you know what? He's right there when you need him, folks."
Okay, that's good. That's good.
We got someone who was having a hard time get in. Let's see what happened there, Nora.
Oh, my fucking God. I can't even swear at my fucking phone. I was calling. They wouldn't even let... I couldn't even get a dial tone. Nothing. Just dead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And
I
got this
weird
funeral thing on my phone. Like, and I don't know what it is. You know, I guess
Nora,
the top of
you
your, like, by your battery bar. But on the
Nora,
left
all across
and,
America, we're having problems. Our Canadian brothers, they seem to be doing okay, but all across America, we're getting jacked up on stuff. It's one technicality after another one. It's frustrating, Nora, but if we stick together as a family, we'll be okay. next week and the week after.
I agree. I understand that. But, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to text Stacy, and I'm saying, fucking, and it's coming up, ducking. Are you kidding me? I can't even say anything in there now. Well, verbally,
what
yes.
did you do? Who did you piss
I
off?
I don't know. I have no idea. Well, maybe the asshole that pissed me off and took one of my photos today and I slammed him up on his ass.
What kind of photo did he take, Nora?
A picture of me with my two dogs.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me?
No, I told you to keep
well,
your
like
clothes on.
Who
you
said
know?
That? You
told her to keep her clothes
on. I said that.
I'm not a stripper.
Oh, okay. I'm only joking. I'm trying to make you laugh.
No,
every woman has the potential to be a stripper. Every woman has the potential to be a mother. Every woman has the potential to be a lover. Each woman brings something to the bedroom which is unique to herself. I adore all women.
Really? What drugs are you on? I'm kidding.
See? Hey, I got you to joke anyways.
Yeah, thank you. You know, but it just pisses me off. It was a day from hell.
Oh.
And I can't even go to mention who I was on the phone with today because that's why I couldn't get on the damn show. Oh, wait. I'll give you a heads up. Who did you get a ticket by, Phil?
Darty?
No.
Who are you talking about?
Did you get a ticket by out of state? Yes.
You talking about
Homeland? Okay, I'm not saying a word. Yes. I'm not saying a word.
Okay.
I think what we need here is we need somebody escape. If all of us contact Homeland Security and blame Philip, maybe we'll all be okay.
Be careful what
we
got to
throw somebody under the bus.
I know, but you better be careful what
somebody
you say.
Might
be
have to go under the bus.
Be careful with this because last time we all got shut off, and then the next day I go to make a phone call. Here they come. They're coming for me. Sorry, I have my window open. So, anyways, I go to call Stacy the next day because we all went blank.
Are they raiding your house now?
No.
Okay.
I wish. It was the fire department. Just kidding. Anyways, so I got to call Stacy the next day. How many times, Stacy, did we get cut off? 3-4 times?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You know?
Well, I did something good Monday.
Well, share with us, please.
Please.
Great. I had a speaking engagement up in Northampton, which is probably about an hour and a half from here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was probably about 40, 45 people there. So I just give them a background of myself, you know, and what I've gone through, you know, over the years. And when I got done talking, this gentleman stands up and he goes, Eunice, he says, do you see this little white paper that I have? And I says, yes. He says, as you were talking, I was writing things down. And I says, okay. You know, he says, you're 71? I'm 71. This is your second marriage? This is my second marriage. He says, I'm Jewish, you're Catholic. He says, my son got molested. Your son got molested. I had a son that died. You had a son that died. He says, you're in black and white, and I'm in black and white. And he says, I need your phone number, he says, because I got to call you tomorrow. And he says, you go to Florida in the winter, and I go to Florida. So when it was over, you know, he come up to me, and he says, you know, I really would like to call you tomorrow. He says, I have something I really want to discuss with you that I've never discussed before. So I said, sure, you know, and I gave him my number. And he called me the next day, and he said, in 25 years since my son has died, I never discussed how he died. And he says, do you mind if, can I tell you about it? He says, I need to tell somebody. So he told me about it, and it was the most horrible, horrible death that any parent can go through. His son was on drugs. real bad. He was like 30 years old. And he was married, had a couple of kids, and this man just kept sending them to rehab centers and doing the best they could for him, you know. And he said to me, I've never shared this with anyone. He says, my son was married, had a couple of children, but he also had a girlfriend that had just had his child. And she was going to pull him in for a paternity suit. So he went to the girlfriend's house, took the baby, put the baby in the crib, took a gun out, and shot the mother, his girlfriend, and then shot himself.
Wow.
You know, we always say that there's someone off worse off than we are, you know. And he says, you have the courage to get up and speak about your son's death in your life. He says, you just enlightened me to be able to speak about it. You know, so we all try to do something, you know, you think someone...
Positive.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, so... And he called me the other day and he said to me, Eunice, it was like I took a rock and lifted it off my chest. And I want to thank you. And he wasn't going to come to the speaking engagement Monday night, but something made him come, you know. And he says, I couldn't even talk to my rabbi about it, you know, because it was so heartfelt. But, you know, we all have to do something good for somebody. And just by me telling my story helped him to be able to tell his. Maybe not to everybody, but to one person. So if we all try to do good works one way or the other, you know, maybe this will become a better world. What do you think,
maybe.
Joe?
Maybe. What do you think?
I don't know if truly if, you know, what I've done in the past and what I hope to do. I try to tell everybody that as much as I do love to speak, and believe me, my speaking on the radio, Phil will tell you, I want to be on stage. I am animated on stage. Be subdued
right.
on the radio, I got to tell you. Or when I do TV, and then I'm subdued.
You weren't too bad in that Bell Bonds commercial.
I tell you what, boy, give me. I'm ready to go. I want to speak.
Not to interrupt you, but don't you feel when you can face people and speak, you get more out of it?
I do, but I'm always faced with this, and this is a hang-up I have because I do give a lot of eulogies at cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of families call me and say, Bill, I'm going to bury my son, my brother, whatever. Can you come? And we got some minister coming in. We don't know who this guy is. Can you come and family right? And I can do that very well. So we have a lot of these ministers, different churches, that ask me to come in and preach. I'm not the right man to preach. I believe that the message is more important than me, the messenger, and I won't in any church, not that I got anything against God, because I believe I'm an Irish man, I know I'm Christian. I just think that I'm not the man around my history. I would be almost hypocritical to say, okay, do this, do that, when people say, well, can you tell us about your past? No, you don't want to know about my past. That's my past. So I believe you've got to find your own niche, I guess.
You should tell them about your...
Good.
Your past has nothing to do with it. It's what you're doing now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want
what
people,
you're doing
I don't
now.
Want, yeah. I just don't... I say the message is more important than messengers. Philip will tell you, if you come to my house for some crazy reason, I have got more plaques. And people give me so much stuff in my life, I no longer accept anything. And I say this because when they ask me, I say no, because if I come here and you give me this wonderful award cut out of glass or whatever, am I doing this to get an award? Am I doing this because the message is important? So I do not receive awards or accolades. I ask not to put myself in that position, but I will appear anyway to help. But at this point in my life, I don't want recognition. And I swear to God, everybody pay attention to me on this one. I don't mind being on stage, giving awards out. Stage, walk up and surprise me with an award. That just irritates the hell out of me. I'm always uncomfortable receiving awards, whereas I can give rewards. And I've had to justify myself. I am not here to speak about myself. I'll speak about the subject, but the message is more important than the messenger. That's why I cannot receive awards or plaques or anything. I just feel that, no. I'm not asking anybody else to live their life like that. This is the way I am. Phil said it taught me a lot. I speak always on recognition. And I know it sounds almost hypocritical. It's not. It's the way I feel comfortable. But
it's not hypocritical at all. No, at all.
Thank you.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, we've all done good somewhere. Sometime, whatever, throughout our lives. We don't ask for nothing. If we get a thank you, it's okay. If we don't, that's fine too. You know, we've all done something. The only thing I look at is if I get a thank you, it's cool. If not, hey, at least I know in my heart this is what I did. You know
what I mean?
That's
right, and that's all that matters.
I don't care what other people think, or, you know, I get tired of people saying, oh, my God, you're too nice, you do so much for people, and you get the knife in the back. Yeah, I do, all the time. But there are a few that don't knife me in the back, and that at least makes up for other idiots out there, you know?
People don't really say I'm nice, but I can tell you when I'm given a crowd, when I have a large crowd, and I can take this crowd and get them energized into what I'm talking about, if I can get them to give a little bit, if I can control the way they're thinking, then I'm thinking I've done an awful lot. That's the good I want to do. I don't want to tell you, dig deep in your pockets and help this charitable organization, but when I'm done speaking, I want you to say to yourself, I think I need to help these people out. I do not want to tell people what to do, but I hope I can lead them by my example to want to do the right thing.
Right on.
Well, you've proven that over and over again, both you and Phil, you know. So people, like I told you before, and it's just been, I haven't known you people that long, but I can tell just by the way you speak. I mean, I get the vibes, you know, and you have done. Look at what you do down in Mexico. You know, that is so tremendous. I mean, that is so tremendous.
People say to me, well, why do you help all those Mexican children out? How the hell can I be mad at some child who's born on one side of the fence, I'm born on the other side of the fence? These are children. And
that's
for God's
right.
sake, those people that tell me all the time, you help those Mexicans. How many Americans do I help? I help the children because they're children. That's all I'm looking for. If you go down to Mexico with me, I'm telling you right now, you people, I'm going down in December next. Philip and I will be down there. We're bringing every single orphan from every single orphanage in Tijuana. Repeat that again. Every single orphan from every single orphanage. We're going to see they have a little something for Christmas. Now, if you come down with me and you're recently divorced, wife has the children, or the husband has the children, or you've lost your child in a death, an accident, and you can't reach out to the children, we'll have a semi waiting in America, and you can donate. I ask a $5 toy for a boy, $5 toy for a girl. Throw it in the semi. You don't have to reach up and hug a child. But if you feel comfortable, come down into Mexico and pick out whatever little boy among the hundreds, whatever little boy you want to give that toy to, whatever little girl you want to give that toy to. And if you got a teenage kid at home who's a pain in the ass, you bring that teenager down to Mexico with you in the back of your bike so they can see how goddamn grateful they are, and give yourself a tremendous Christmas, I tell everybody. Sorry, I went on the soapbox again. Break me up somewhere.
No, people gotta listen to that.
You're on the right track, Bill, 100%, man. You're a great guy. You really are. You got fucking heart, man.
Heart I got. Not a great guy. Heart I got. Although I got to tell you, a lot of people have confused me. A lot of people have called me, oh, God, oh, God. Quite a few of my girlfriends. Oh, never mind. I'll go somewhere else. Never mind. Did anybody get that at all?
Oh, God. I caught it.
He says, why do you try to tell a joke? I think I'm hilarious. I just can't tell a joke. Shit. No, Philip and I do things because it's the right thing to do. That's the reason I don't belong to a club. I don't have any restrictions, and I have been to every state, Canada. I've been down to Mexico, England, Wales, Ireland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark. I've been all over Europe, Spain, Italy, North Africa. I can't speak anything but English. I'm on the motorcycle. What difference does it matter where I am?
Exactly.
I will find good people.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how I believe about that. And all I got is just look in your eyes. And I know if I need to pay attention to you or if I can trust you. And traveling around the world, I have never once been hassled. No one's ever tried to rob me. I've had nothing but good people because of the way I present myself. Being on a motorcycle, I'm approachable. I'm vulnerable. People want to walk up and talk to me. Jesus, you're from California. What are you doing over here? I'm just traveling through, meeting people. It's because of that attitude. If you open yourself up to people, some of you said, yeah, I've got burnt in the past. That's a sad part of life, but you have met people that have helped you. And those people are out there. You cannot let the few people that have hurt you stop you from reaching out and helping other people.
Exactly. Don't let them affect you.
My past, I do want to say this here. We have never hurt anybody that didn't deserve to be hurt. Now, I just want to get clear. There are times in life, Phil, when I have self-defense. But you have to be able to take care of yourself. You can't let people walk over you. But you have to look everybody in the face and accept them. Give them a chance to be your friends and your neighbors. All coming in, and they want me. Let me get off this soapbox again. What's wrong with you people? I keep telling you, stop me when I do this. Let's bring Paul in, huh?
It's hard to stop you, Bill.
Who we got here?
Hello, Paul. Are you there?
Paul, good evening.
Hey. Hi, Phil and Bill. Paul Rippadia here with Martine and our cameraman, Greg. We just left the Los Angeles mission, met with the executive director and the director and the PR person. We filmed some interviews for our upcoming October 14th run. How are you guys doing?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Phil's writing me short notes. He said Emilio's doing a PSA message right now for the Love Ride. I don't know if you're aware of that, but he wanted us to share that with you right now. Right now he's doing a PSA for Right. Now let's get back to the mission statement if you can, because a lot of people are on the phone from different states and they're quite impressed with that mission run you got going on. Can you share that with everybody, what that's about? We're not going to the California missions with the Franciscans on. This is a different type of mission altogether. Can you tell us what that's about, please?
Yeah. How you doing? This is Martin here as well. I'm with Paul. It's actually called the Los Angeles Mission. They give clothes to all the homeless. There's a lot of organizations in downtown, but this is one of the best and biggest and well-known organizations. They don't sell the clothes as others known of doing. They give the clothes. They're a Christian group, and they're very happy to work with us. They are networking with news media through Twitter, and this event this year is going to be a lot bigger than last year, which I thought was impossible, but I think it is going to be, because the networking is everything, and they're on board from beginning to end.
For you people that don't understand about Martine, I want to say something right now. This is one sharp cookie. This guy is an organizer. He doesn't just say to a bunch of people, let's get together. He dots the I's, he crosses the T's, he has permits, he has clout. When he puts something on, boys and girls, this guy's impressive. Hopefully you'll give us some information as to how other people can reach. I can't read that, Phil, but I'm like, my glasses on. Phil gave me to read something, I don't have my glasses on.
4,326 hits since I posted it.
Outstanding. Martin, how long have you been doing this event at the mission?
This has to be my second year. I was caught up with the Rosarito run because it takes so much work throughout the whole year, and the Christmas run I did. But I worked in downtown Los Angeles, and one time last year, I was during the wintertime, I saw this this man was just freezing underneath some cardboard. It wasn't raining. He was just trying to keep warm with plastic and cardboard. So I had an extra jacket in my car, and I gave it to him. And you'll be very surprised that he thanked me. He wanted to give me a hug, which I allowed, and shook my hand, and that's it. He broke my heart. He broke my heart.
For some of you people who don't know, I want to explain that Martin's putting this run on in the Mission, Los Angeles. He mentioned a few seconds ago that he puts a run down in Rosarito. Rosarito is in Mexico. It's in Baja. It's like about 130 miles away from the Mission run. So this is not just a guy putting a few local programs on. This guy's highly mobile where he sees a problem. Now, how about you get tied up with Paul? I don't understand. Can you share that with us? Jump in some.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Paul. I'm going to let Paul fill you in with that.
Well, all right. You know, we had a mutual buddy, Ray Ramirez, who since passed on. And Ray was the golfing buddies of Emilio's. And Ray invited us to go on the Rosarito run, and I've been going about every one. And I've been watching the Martin for, like, 10 years. And there's a handful of people in the business that are trustworthy, honest, and you can rely on them, and their word is gold. And so far, two of them are Martin and Emilio. And Emilio I've known over 20 years. Bottom line is I like to ride. I go to Baja, and I've been watching Martin. And, of course, I'm an actor. And I said, you know what? I need to continue with my passions. And Martin came to me one day and says, how can he make his events bigger? And I said, we need to do a show. So this isn't just an override thing for me. It's pretty much 40 years of brainstorming. And I found the right people that I thought could carry my vision forward.
Make Listen, long Paul, story short, should I say Guapo, can you tell us about that famous painting I saw of you, Pretty Boy? Paul?
Yeah. My wife and I were up at Oakland at the last Laughlin run, and Alba took a picture of us. And he posted it, and I really liked it. And Phil took a picture of it, passed it on to an artiste who painted it. And Phil got it donated to us, and I really like it.
Do you have that artist's name? I don't have it at my fingertips. Do you have that name, the artist?
Gustavo Velasquez. And I, if anyone wants a nice painting, they may contact him. But he gets the detail of the bike, so I think he's pretty good. Surreal painting, and he's on Facebook.
That's a class act. And you know what? I've seen that painting in that before. That painting looks like it belongs hanging in an art museum. It's, I don't know, it's definitely you, but it's beyond you. The painting is not just of it belongs in a damn museum, and that's all I can say about it. And I'm sure you know what I mean by that. You people can't see the picture, try to find out. This is it's impressive as hell.
Yeah, it's on canvas, and I really like it. But, back to this run, Martin and I have created a show, Riding for a Cause. And as you know, we've done the Rosarito Beach, we did the Down Syndrome. So this next one coming up October 14th is the Los Angeles Operation Keep L.A. Warm. So it feels good to do this because, as you guys know, as bike riders, every day that I get on my Harley, it's Christmas for me.
Yeah.
And if I can convey that dream. Yeah, exactly. And if I can convey that dream or that feeling to children or the unwanted or the homeless, I want to bring attention to that.
For you people in the other states that listen, Paul was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Nobody gave him anything. People like him, Emilio, Martin, who I'm just really getting to know more and more. These are people that made something out of themselves. They said, I'm not going to accept what I got. There's more I have to give. That's why I love this program, because I am meeting more people. Sometimes I feel like Bill and I are the Lone Rangers down here, but every chance we get to meet more and more and more people kind of makes me feel good. Anybody going to Vegas? Paul, you running to Vegas? You got to work that weekend?
We got to work, man. We got to work. We got to make some money.
Oh, man. Martin, you going to Vegas or you working?
I'm working, sir. Unfortunately.
You guys are an inspiration to me. I wish I had the motivation.
They need a government job, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shush.
They're all Hollywood stars. They don't need no jobs.
I'm gonna tell you guys something. Bill asked me a couple weeks ago. He said, hey, you know, how are these guys when you go up there, he says, how do they treat me? I said, they treat me like they've known me all their lives.
You've always wanted to have a friend.
They open their homes to me. You tried to make light of the man cave last week, but
it didn't go anywhere.
It didn't go anywhere, which is good. And I'm glad to be associated with these guys, and I
well,
help out as much
wanted,
as I
you've
can.
You've always wanted to have a friend, and the fact that Paul and Martin are taking over. Did you sit the same table with them, or did they make us a different table?
Dude, I stand right in the crowd.
They sit the table and make you stand?
No, I stand right with the
crowd. All right.
I'm right there shoulder to shoulder. We all got each other. Here we go.
He stands and sits right next to us.
There you go. It's Krishna that you let him in the restaurant.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
He's been lonely for a long time.
Nah, these guys know anything happens, I got their back, and they got mine.
That's true.
And again, it is the fact that we are meeting more people like this around the world, and that's what's so exciting about this here.
But if you guys want to take a couple of questions, we can do that. Or
Paul and Martin, can you hang on a bit so we can get some of the questions for you guys?
You sure can.
Okay.
What do we got?
Hello, Rio. You got any questions for the fellas?
Right now, no. I'll tell you, I'm listening, and this is just fantastic. But I just wanted to thank them for what they're doing with the kids and everything. And I applaud you guys. And I'm lost for words, to be honest with you. Like, we have a lot of runs in Canada. But I'll tell you, I wish I was stateside right now because I would be with you. I would ride with you. I'd collect money for you. I'd do whatever I could. You know,
I really do appreciate that. I really do, the bottom of my heart, I really do appreciate that. Like, this mission run, like I said, we're just trying to get, you know, all your used jackets, all your used pants that you don't wear, you know, spring cleaning. Get rid of all the stuff you don't want. We'll take it. And we'll be more than happy to pick it up. You know,
I got to talk to you guys. I got somebody that called me and said they got a house, they got a garage full of school supplies, and they want to donate it to the orphanage.
I would love, that's a blessing. I will just off the air, give me his email, and I will be more than happy to send somebody to pick all that up. And also, what I do is this. Whenever anybody gives me donations, even though they never ask for it, I always give them a receipt so they can know where their money is going. And if they give me products, I always take pictures and see the product given to the kids, see the smiley kids receiving it. And that alone is heartwarming, and believe me, they would love that. And that's what
all
that's what
she
I
would
do.
Like to do is come and take pictures.
Who?
Yes.
Friend.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. 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 Yes.
Phil has been there. Phil has been part of my organization this year. He's seen where everything goes. I mean, if you can't take my word for it, Phil was there.
No, but anybody wants to dispute that, they can meet me in the back. I'll talk to them.
You got to tone it. You know what? Martin and Paul, these are gentlemen. You got to tone it down. They're going to think everybody in San Diego is rough.
Hey, you know what? These guys got me to smile, Bill.
Yes,
I
did.
Almost want to ask what they did to make you smile, but I'm not going to go there.
And don't say shit, Phil. Yeah, but, you know, we do what we can. We do what we can. You know,
all right, we got one more person I want to ask questions. Hold on. Nora.
Right.
Nora, did you have any questions for Paul or Martin?
Oh, I guess I will direct this to both in regards to the runs that you do. In regards to plan this in advance, or are you asked to come into it? And, you know, because I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
That's a very good question. I mean, actually, I think that's the best question anybody's ever asked me. And the answer is, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
My Rosarito run is an annual run. The Christmas run, where I'm a chair and committee, we bring toys to 500 kids from a local project area over here in LA area. And this mission run, which I started last year, this will be my second annual. Everything else in between is because I'm asked. Somebody needs my help. Somebody is down on their luck. And believe it or not, I have to pick and choose what I can and cannot commit to. Because people don't really understand how much work it takes to put a run together. It's so much. And it depends how much money they're trying to raise. And it could be a car wash. Like, I don't know if you saw, well, obviously you don't know through my Facebook, but last Sunday, somebody else helped me because they're trying to raise some funds for their cheerleading because the school's not giving them any money. They're going to cancel the program. So I'm there, just a couple of my crew members. We washed cars, and we raised over $1,100, which was money that they never had before. And it was even for the competition. It was actually my rival school. But I don't see that as a rival school. I mean, we're out of high school. But the point that I'm trying to make is I don't care who I help. The point is that somebody needed me, and I was available, so I was there to give my hand.
Right.
Wonderful.
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing that you guys do. I don't live in California. I live in Chicago, okay? So I don't know of all the runs that you guys do or the benefits, unless if I hear it on the show here. But now, for somebody that lives out of state, how can someone help what you guys do? How can we help?
To be honest with you, there is a I am currently working on a non taxable ID to make it an actual charity. I never thought I needed to do that because everything was basically coming out of my pocket and in my close friend's pocket. But now it seems like our runs are getting bigger and bigger. And my help sometimes is getting a little less and less, which means I'm coming out of more and more out of my own pocket. So all I can say as of now, if you whatever you can help out with $20, $30 for any of the events, send me your information and I'll get your receipt until I officially get my non-taxable ID number. That's the best I can do.
Now, I can go through Phil to get your information because now when you guys did the Upside of Down event,
yes.
I helped with that, you know, by obtaining a tank top. But you know what? Every little bit helps. That's how I look at it.
Yes, yes, it does. And that's exactly what I mean. Any little thing helps.
You know, Nora, for you and all your listeners, if you really want to help us from your home, go to YouTube and look at Paul Renteria or Martin Resendez and listen to our YouTube PSAs regarding the Mission Toy Run and some of the things we're doing. We're on Facebook as well. But when people around the world at least click on YouTube, it gives us views and, of course, it attracts the sponsors' attentions and all those other good things.
And like Rolling Deep for Charities, if you like our page, that also helps as well.
Okay, I do have a Facebook page.
Hold on, Nora. Basically, now, you guys told me to hold off on posting that on the blog, so do I got a green light now?
Yeah, you go ahead and do it. Rolling Deep for Charities, you can go ahead and have everybody like my page. I would really appreciate it. It helps us out, get it all the network out.
Okay, you got it. And Art should be back from China in a couple weeks, and we'll hit him up to come up there for that.
You know, I'd like to ask you two guys to do me a favor. I have friends in Mexico City. I'd love to ask you, give them a little invitation in Espanol to come for the mission and to come down to Rosarito. Can you invite them in Espanol to join us, please? Either one of you?
Si.
That means yes. I'm going to have Paul do it since he's bilingual and knows proper Spanish. Paul, whenever you're ready. This goes for all my Latin people out there.
Órale, compañeros de motocicletas, vamos a tener un, como se dice, correo de ropa para la gente sin que vive en las calles en Los Ángeles, en la misión, en domingo, octubre 14, este año. Vamos a juntar en el restaurante El Tepeyac, en la City de Industry, y vamos a llevar ropa para la misión Los Ángeles. Y si pueden venir, qué bueno. Y si no, pues puedes mirar por la internet, en YouTube, Writing for a Cause, juntando por una causa, o por el blog de Phil and Bill Show. Gracias por todo.
Well, okay. Thank you. My friends okay. in Mexico City, which they try to get up in more often, I know they appreciate that little bit there. I've tried to speak a few words, and they say the words that come out of my mouth are like fingernails on a chalkboard. Even when I say the words, I cannot put the accent in the right spot. So, but thank you for
well,
that.
Usually he starts swearing, and then he forgets what he's saying.
It's pretty bad. Some people just can't do it. We have another caller, don't we? I want to bring somebody in here. We got somebody else out there. Stacy still there?
Yeah, Stacy.
Stacy, you got something you want to ask the boys? It's like a tipping time bomb?
I don't know. Stacy.
I think Phil scared her.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, hold on, Nora.
Okay.
A lot of guys, I want to let you know that they zapped us before the show, and the guy's been working on the other computer, while I'm working on a laptop right now to the show. And they've been trying to jam us up on the laptop also, but now everything on the other computer is up and going, working off the laptop.
Apparently, except for Canada's okay, but many, many, many states. So I don't know if it's a nationwide virus or we don't know for sure, but this has been the worst problem I've seen so far. The Canadian boys still say they got.
I may lose you guys because we're going to go into the tunnel, so, and I have cars behind me. So, make this short, it was great talking to you guys.
You too,
Nora from Chicago.
Thank you.
And they could give you my email if you have any further questions. Thank you. God bless. I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Bye. May I direct this to Paul, if that's okay, just real quick, and then that's it with my questions?
Good.
With the videos that you had talked about, Paul, I'm on Facebook as well. Would it be possible where I can go see those videos and post them on my wall for other people to see them and share with as well? Is that what you do?
Yes. Yes, you can, and you go to Paul Renteria.
On Facebook, you can share them, or go to YouTube and play them and copy and paste and post them on your Facebook or through email.
On YouTube, they're called?
With Mission Run PSA.
Los Angeles Mission Run PSA.
And you can also put, they're under Martin, Resende Paul Renteria for a cause.
Remind you guys, we're going to
okay, I'll call you guys tomorrow. I think we lost.
We're losing more people.
Nah, they went in.
Wow. You
they
really got jacked up over there.
They got, or he got in a dead spot.
Hello?
Okay, who's still here?
Canada's still here.
Okay. Wow, that was weird. I thought, oh, God, I'm the only one and everybody else is gone.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, Nora. I thought we were all shut down.
Yeah.
I know.
How have you been?
No, I think what they do is just wonderful. You know, I can't give kudos enough. And I don't mind sharing the information for it to be seen and hopefully to get more attention for them in regards to help. You know,
get them off my page. Get them off their pages. You can get it off the blog. You can get it all over.
You know, I'd like to point out a statement these guys made. For a long time, this is coming out of their personal pockets.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, when Emilio, he'll kick $1,000 out for food just to feed people. These guys are realizing that if they're going to be productive, they've got to be more organized. And having Martin, he's the organizer, boys and girls. I'm going to tell you right now.
He's the organizer, and Paul is the GPS.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good program, but they are at the point in time where they've got to step up to the plate now. So hopefully it's a nonprofit organization, all that will help them, because even though you want to help, you can't keep taking money out of your own pocket when you got your responsibility to take care of your family first. So we like what they're doing. We like the fact they're good people. And we like the fact that you're in Hollywood. They got no ego. They got no attitude. It's Paul, Martin, Emilio, Philip, you know, all the LA stars up there together. It's a nice world to be in, boys and girls. I'm down here in San Diego. I'm not in the Hollywood crowd like Philip is, but, you know,
but you
I'm doing
the
best I can.
You get the invitations, but you got pending engagements,
yeah.
And sometimes we can't be in the same place at once.
Everybody must know by now, if it's your first time, I'm breaking Philip's balls an awful lot. I do it with love. He is not the least bit jealous or concerned what I do. I wish him the best luck and all that. We are two friends working together. But what amazes us is the fact that we meet so many people, like you good people tonight, across America, and I said, well, what can I do? We all have different abilities. Very few, if any of us, have Martin's ability to organize. Everybody's got something different in there. Well, I don't know what the hell Philip does. But, I mean, the rest of you people, I know you're great people. You can do an awful lot. So this is what I'm so happy talking to everybody, because I get to meet and talk to people. People I never would have met you people. I never would have heard from you people. Phil, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what I was going to say is...
I cut him off a lot.
No,
I'm sorry.
What I was going to say was the fact that we both give our time and effort to all this. And those guys, they, you know, like Martin said a couple weeks ago, when we stepped up and he gave me that challenge, and I took care of that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way we do things.
You know, for you people listening to us, I want you to understand... I'm resting my head on my arm, and when Philip talks, you ever seen those Italian people with the hands all over the air? Holy shit. He's got the, I'm over here, and I'm over there. It's always interesting to watch Philip speak. I'm sorry you people won't get to see that. Maybe someday you will. He is a program unto himself.
It's the same thing.
The nicest guy you're going to meet, though. I've got to give him credit for that.
It's the same thing, Bill, when we all pose for a picture, you know?
You never pose. You never smile. You never pose.
All right, well.
What is the same thing? Go ahead. What are you saying is the same thing?
What's the same thing? Everybody sees the camaraderie in the picture.
Yeah, well, when you have no ego, no attitude, and Philip and I are not TV stars. We're not movie stars. We've done some scenes, some movies, but small stuff. We've never met a TV star or a movie star yet that was anything but super courteous because of the type of work we do. In a sense, Tom Arnold, the governor, Schwarzenegger, these people we met and I'll talk to them, and hey man, we know you guys are doing good work. That means an awful lot. That makes me happy to know that TV stars, movie stars, more congressmen, senators I want to talk about, they appreciate the fact that as citizens we're doing stuff. The work you guys are doing out there as citizens, that's what we should all be proud of. I wish somehow that someday we will all be together on a big run or something. God willing, the creek don't rise. But in the meantime, we have each other over the air, unless the government takes that away from us.
Right. Well, right now, we got them at bay, Bill.
Yeah. Anybody want to ask a question to Philip or myself?
Yes. I want to
ask Philip a question.
Phil, this is directed to you, because I had a really crappy day. I think we need a little bit of Dr. Love, as Stacy would say if she was here with us. So I'll speak to her and say we need Dr. Love.
According to the system here, she's still there. I don't know if she's just listening.
I want to apologize how I wasn't right as soon as I got through cursing. I don't do that.
You know, if you're having a shitty day and you want to vent, we'll let you do that.
Little girl.
Well, I was just so annoyed. I couldn't believe I couldn't get on. So what did I do? And, you know, unless if they didn't like the naked picture I sent them. No, I'm kidding.
You're right. Little girl, if ever you need Dr. Love, you pick the phone up, because Dr. Love is here for you. I want you to sit back in that chair, and I hope you got that glass of wine in your hand. I want you to just reach up and undo that top button of that blouse. That's just a little too tight, you know?
I don't have one with a button.
Don't have
one. Don't say nothing. Just listen.
Okay.
just sit back in here knowing that you're a very special person. Dr. Love waits every week to hear the sound of your voice, as he waits to hear the sound of our other listeners, but your voice is special. Dr. Love needs to know that you're out there. Dr. Love needs to feel you. Dr. Love is waiting weekly just for you tonight, little girl.
Thank you.
So that thing I sent Stacy the other day about you have dreams about her in your head, Nora's going to take over?
Oh, Nora, what you and I have will always be special. Don't let Philip get in between us.
I know. He just doesn't like it when I come to the show in a tank top and boxers, you know.
I tell him don't be a hater.
Hey, it's your story. You tell it any way it sounds good now.
Oh, I'm still waiting for your crap, buddy boy. Bring your army with you. Sorry.
Don't threaten me with a gun.
Yeah.
Can we take some pictures of Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We actually are going to apologize.
We had
a surprise.
We'll be interviewed by a quick battle when we get there.
Yeah, but you know what? We can't do the show live.
Yeah.
We were hoping to do a live,
tonight.
And we can't do it. I was hoping to do a live show from Vegas. I was figuring maybe I could be in the main drag and, you know, talk to a couple of the professional ladies walking the streets and a few of the bikers and... But because of logistics, we unfortunately can't make it. But one of the next events coming up, I think we should really try to make it a live show. You game for that?
Yeah.
You think you guys
cool.
like to hear a live show from us?
I would.
Okay, good.
Well, you know that you brought that up, Bill.
Yes, I brought that up, Phil.
Saturday night, we're gonna work it out and see if it all comes together, and we're gonna do a live show from Paul's Garage. Which I'll set it up and it'll play Saturday night. Or they can go back and listen to it in the archives.
No, okay. But I thought you were going to talk about Saturday Night in Vegas when you know.
No, Saturday Night in Vegas.
Saturday Night in Vegas.
The only thing that concerns me, Bill, about Vegas is those cops are out of control.
Yeah.
And I've already had people go out there with microphones and to try and do a live show from another show, and they shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
And they told them if they didn't turn everything off, they were going to fucking arrest them. So
I was going to say, it would
they
be
folded
rough.
Under pressure.
It would be rough because Saturday night we have a lot of commitments to make with a lot of different motorcycle organizations.
That's
which
correct.
Not that they demand it, but since we're in Nevada, we're in their state, they'd appreciate it would stop by some of their clubhouses. So out of respect for some of the Nevada clubs, we will be either together or separately making some of the events, still because... There's only so many hours and all that, so we'll try.
Right.
Then there's all the strip clubs that are going to try to stop in and, you know, be polite. Just be polite, you know.
Right.
Party at the Cashman Center. We got to meet those people. So.
Right. And we lost Stacy.
Oh, Stacy. But we have Nora, right?
Yeah. We have Nora.
I'm still here. Well, yeah, it took me forever to get on, but I guess they're letting me stay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
what was that gentleman's name that was on with Paul?
Martin Resendez.
Martin.
R-E-S-E-N-D-E-Z.
Wait, R-E-S.
It's on my page. Just go look for it. If you sign anything with Paul, it'll be CC'd to him.
Martin throws a big party in Rosarito, Baja California, Mexico. Try to look on that page and...
the Rosarito Beach Run.
Maybe some night we'll see you down there. It's a no-holds-bar. Once you cross the border, you let your inhibitions go. Because you're in a foreign country. It's okay what you do.
I wish I could, but I can't.
And then watch the pictures and knowing that your thoughts are with us and our thoughts are with you and all that. Because I'd much rather talk to you than Philip anyway. He's a little bit boring.
Oh, fuck.
He's that a little kind of on the stuffy side.
He is.
I got you stuffy.
Oh, look at that. Listen to that talk. You know, in the presence of a lady...
Oh, just keep your puffy over there.
Presence of a lady, you should try to act more like a gentleman, for God's sakes, you know?
Yeah. I'm just one of the guys. Martin Resendez? Is that
him?
Okay.
Very good. Very both those people are very nice people. Also, Emilio. I don't know if you get a chance to see the... Is it Burger King commercial?
No, Subway.
You seen? I hope you get a chance to see the new Subway commercial. Just some biker guy driving up in a Subway commercial with a party hat on. That's Emilio. I don't know what in God's name he's doing. He's
well,
got
Paul,
10
they,
movies
they,
out.
The
and
only
he's,
two guys that did that were Paul and Emilio.
Oh, my God. They're doing Subway
and
commercials. Come on. For thousands and thousands of dollars. You think Paul and I would do a commercial for that? Yes, we would. Hollywood, call us right away. No, they're both very nice people. When we get somewhere, we did the Bad Ride, Bikers Against Diabetes. Didn't want any special treatment anywhere. Didn't want to be, you know, special place. Just happy to be there around other fellow bikers. This is the part I love about the motorcycle world. The celebrities who have motorcycle riders, they don't think they're celebrities around the bikers. They think they're goddamn just lucky to be there and meet some of the bikers. It's a whole different world. Whereas if you go up to Hollywood Boulevard and you go to some of the nightclubs, it is sometimes so much full of bullshit. Young actors and actors and singers, everybody trying to impress somebody. When the TV stars / movie stars come to our biker events, hey, they just want to blend in. They want to shake hands. It really is a very comfortable feeling. I know you've never been overwhelmed or intimidated by anybody, have you?
No, they,
no, I've
no
never
I walk
had anybody,
right up to them.
Yeah, we've never had anybody with ego or attitude at all.
They respect that. There's a lot of times when I go Bill and they're trying to eat and they can't eat.
Well, there is some. Yeah, you're some.
People don't even let them eat.
This is something. Yes, you want to say? I'll talk about this in a second. Please, if you go to big events and we have got big name people and they're going to sign autographs and they're going to bring more celebrities in, if you see them eating, they only have a few minutes to eat before they do more autographs. If you don't mind just kind of hanging around, let them finish their food. Let them finish
right.
their drink.
Because
many times,
nine times out of ten, you don't see me standing there telling you to take a hike.
It's they need a drink of water. They need to get some food in there. They don't get the luxury of sitting down and just sitting there for half an hour, 45 minutes. They got to wolf a meal down, being on stage. Who is it? Who can I bust his balls? Mickey Jones, the actor. I don't know if you
right,
know
right,
him.
Right.
I was on stage, and they said, Bill, he's not quite ready. Drag it out. Hey, that's not hard for me to do at all. So he ran up, but I didn't know he came up behind me. But no one told me to cut it short. So the last message I got was drag it out. So I figured I'd get a message. I dragged it out for so long. Mickey turned around. He went back to the restaurant, sat down and ate. And I got a phone call. He's in eating his food. The point I'm trying to make is, first of all, no attitude, but they get such little chance to get some food. When you see them at the TV, I mean...
The thing is, Bill, like at the diabetes run,
yeah.
A lot of those people have diabetes. Larry
yeah.
Hagman, Mickey Jones.
Larry Hagman, great guy.
Mickey Jones, they all have diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and that's the cause they support. And a lot of times they have to eat so many meals a day.
And they have to eat certain food.
And certain food.
Yeah.
And when they're sitting down to eat it, it's kind of...
They have
you know,
to digest it.
They
need that time period with
that.
They
need that time period. And a lot of people don't understand that. They want it. They want what they want, and they want it now.
Yeah. See, they want their autographs. They want pictures. And people walk up to Philip and I. They're happy just to give us a hug. No one gives a shit about the Phil and Bill, you know. Just give us a hug. But the when you do go and you see these people, give them just a small amount of space, just when they're eating. The rest of the time, aggravate the hell out of them. They love that shit.
Yeah.
Well, anytime you come out to any of our events and all that... Or just hang with us.
When is the... We got the big cover-ups coming up.
I wasn't going to talk about that, but yeah, that's coming up where we, Philip and I, what we do is we collect blankets and socks. We call it the cover-up. We collect clothing, blankets, and socks for the people here in San Diego County, North County in San Diego. We help Brother Banos, which is a charity organization, and Salvation Army, correct?
Correct.
And I forgot for a second. I'm sorry. We will have... hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of bikers showing up, dropping off blankets, socks, clothing. We call it the big cover-up because it's kind of a hook. Come to the big cover-up. But we collect all kind of clothing. And then we have the Brother Banos and the Salvation Army. They bring the big trucks in. And we literally, we have a mountain of clothing and shoes and stuff like that that we give. I feel that I don't want to collect money during Christmas time. But if I can ask you to go in your closet and... give me something that's good. I don't need something with holes in it. Come on, give me a break. You got something that you've outgrown, something you some stupid jacket you get from a cousin that you hate. Give it to somebody that needs it. Philip and I try very hard all year to make this event big. It is big. You can do stuff like that in your own town, too. Put some stuff together and give it. Help other people. Philip and I don't try to collect credit on this, although I am, because I own the motorcycle shop. I'm in the motorcycle magazines because that's part of my way I do business. But Philip's a lot more down-to-earth on that because it is, we try to tell people, it is the messenger, not the messengers. Now, when I do things at my motorcycle shop, it's good PR for me to be in the magazines. When I do things at Paul's and I do things with Martine and all that, I stay away from the limelight because what I'm doing really is more important than my own ego, which by now you all know is really, it's pretty damn big. I don't know. Oh, don't act like you didn't know it by now. There's nothing humble about me, for Christ's sakes. Oh.
I wouldn't say you have a big ego. You're just yourself.
May I ask you something personal?
Sure.
What'd you make for dinner tonight? Because I'm starving.
I have baked spaghetti with meatballs, homemade. And I have French bread. And I have strawberries and mangoes.
Okay, stop, okay. Now I'm really hungry. And I've got just a few more minutes to go, but I'm really getting...
It's loaded with mozzarella. And meat. Yeah. You know, you need to come out here sometime. And then you'll see.
I do. I really do. I'm not trying to imply to you that I'm out of shape and all that, but I just want you to understand food is very important to me.
I understand that. Everybody likes to eat. And when people come here, they come back for more.
I'm 6 foot tall. I try to keep myself at 2'10". The biggest I've ever been in my life is 220, but 205, 210, that's kind of a nice weight for me. I'm happy. I stay there. I never diet. I just cut back on some of the portions, I guess. But
right.
I have always, always enjoyed food. Food's something to be savored.
Well, my house is the place. I'm telling you. Yeah. Nothing but homemade.
Here I am.
And I'm small. So you would be, like, very tall compared to me.
But, you know, I got to tell you, at 6 foot, well, if I wear my cowboy boots, I'm probably a little higher than that, 6'1", 6'2". It is really, well, back in my Mexican days, when I ran the club for 10 years in Mexico, not speaking a word of Mexican, kind of interesting, my running partner was 400 pounds, and he was about 6'6", Mexican, giant. We walked down the street. We always were together. And people would see me later, and they'd say, oh, you're kind of tall. I thought you were a little guy. And they'd go, oh, you got some weight on your body. I thought you were a skinny little stick. No, I stand next to a 400-pound guy all the time. I always look like that. Only when they go, no, you're a big man. Well, until I step next to my partner. But we've had my partner is still my partner. He has left Mexico, and he's come to America, and he's now riding with a serious major club, which his friendship and my friendship will never change, but he's on a very violent path, and so I wish him the best of luck on that. I'll never turn my back on my friend. He went to an organization which is not one of my best choices in organizations, but again, you don't turn your back on a friend ever.
Exactly.
Oh, 90 seconds. Did you hear that? Did you hear him say 90 seconds, anybody?
No, we didn't.
No.
Yeah, I keep wondering about that, because this stupid thing is always telling me what to do. You know, 45 seconds. I go, man, does anybody else hear that bullshit at me? Okay.
No, we don't hear nothing in the background, Bill.
Inga Sick, we have a caller on Skype that wants to jump in. Skype, are you out there? Do you want to jump in? Skype, do you have a question for anybody? Do you care if I'm hungry or anything at all? There's those seconds. Skype just want to listen to us. That's okay, too. We were all nice people, though, if you want to ask us a question. I don't know
what
that
was. I think he's trying
to
get through.
Yeah, somebody's trying. Maybe more experiences.
Hello?
Hello, you're on. Talk to us. You got a question?
Yeah, this is 5150 from Pirate Riders, Los Angeles.
Yes, yes, talk to us, sir.
Yeah, I met Screwdriver over at the Wrench Magazine come out party.
Can you, and you're bold enough to say that in the air. What a nice person you are.
You know,
admit that in the
it
air.
Was a
go
great
ahead,
conversation.
Brother.
It was a great conversation 10 feet from a taco truck and a beer in our hands. So what can I say?
Oh, there we go. Philip does love Mexican food now.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, I want to talk about the Bikers Ride for Cancer Los Angeles, if that's okay.
Please, sure. Go ahead. We're winding down, but we'll give you the rest of our time tonight, sir.
Well, I'm grateful. Sunday, October 14th, we started Glendale Harley-Davidson. Glendale Harley is the creator of the Love Ride. 1 week before the Love Ride is our cancer run. We go to Los Angeles Harley at Anaheim, where they removed and relocated. And then we go back to the Magic Wheels Clubhouse for our main event. We have a few stars from the Sons of Anarchy, a couple of stand-up comedians, and it's all in efforts to raise money for the fight against cancer. And it all started around a woman who is 63 years old and rides her own bagger and was afflicted with cancer and was a survivor. And then she had a reoccurring bout of cancer and is currently struggling through it. So even though we're fighting for her, all of the proceeds go to the nonprofit organizations that support people that are going through cancer. And you could certainly find us at Bikers Ride for Cancer on Facebook. All of the information is there. Sunday kickstands up on October 14th at Glendale Harley, and we take a nice ride to L.A. Harley. We have DJs at every location. You can mingle with all of the other bikers, whether you wear a patch or not. And then we end up at Magic Wheels Clubhouse for about a 4 or 5 hour venture into performances, DJs, guest speakers, vendors, food trucks, and a custom motorcycle show.
And
it's the best $10 you will ever spend, I guarantee.
You're
going
to send me a flyer on that to my email, all right?
I will do that for you, sir.
Perfect. And then, it's going to be, it starts at, what did you say, 10 o'clock?
Well, we started Glendale Harley at 9 o'clock. We're actually starting an hour earlier than they usually open, so we're waking them up. We're there for a two-hour period for registration, and then we kickstands up at 11 to L.A. Harley. And for those that don't want to wake up early or just meet us at L.A., we're there for 2.5 hours from 12 to 2:30. Then we have a ride from 2:30 to 3 to Magic Wheels Clubhouse in Los Angeles, which is a very large clubhouse. We shut down the entire street, and we own the entire block. And everybody's welcome. Everybody's our friend. It doesn't matter where you're from, what kind of bike you're riding. It's all about cancer. This is a charity, so leave the egos at the door. Come inside, grab a $2 beer, and enjoy some time with us comedians, guest speakers. Emilio Rivera from the Sons of Anarchy will be joining the ride.
Correct. I think
Kristen
I'm going to be a swing man, but yeah.
Yeah, Kristen Renton will be there. She's from the Sons of Anarchy. Eamon Joseph, who also starred in The Sons of Anarchy as a co-star and is doing his own venture right now, action film. We have a couple of comedians, Ida Rodriguez, a stand-up comedian. She's one of the funniest comedians out there right now. Last year, she burned the entire clubhouse down. And we're waiting to do it again on October 14th. And we hope that many of you can come out. It doesn't matter, you know, what your belief is, what your religion, what patch you wear, or if you don't wear a patch at all, put some gas in that tank and come out and ride with us.
Okay, and as soon as you send me the flyer, I'll post that for you, and I'll print some out for Bill to put in his shop.
Yeah, I'll put it in my bike shop for that. And we need to get him, this man, on the air again so that we can let everybody
know. He's welcome from now until the last Thursday before.
You feel comfortable making a few more announcements as the weeks go by so that people know about what's going on?
Yeah, he's got about 2 weeks.
If you're inviting me, I'd be more than happy to come back and talk with you guys. I'm sorry I missed last week. I see that, so I'm here and I'm dedicated to this event because, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's losing people to cancer, and we got to continue this fight so we can find a cure.
Well, you got 7 more shows to talk about it, and I'll give you all the time you need.
I'm grateful to you.
And don't forget, we'll get some flyers down in San Diego for some of my people.
I get the,
and I'll send them down to some of the other clubs. I'll shoot them down to the Confederation, maybe something like that. So.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I get back to my computer, that flyer is in your email, and I'm grateful. And next time we're sitting by a taco truck, the beers are on me.
All right. We got a couple of people that might want to ask you a question. Nora, did you have a question?
Yeah. Since I live not in California, is there a way to donate for your events, like online or something?
Actually, there is, and we actually welcome that very much because one of the organizations that we are supporting, a nonprofit 501c3, is a cancer-supporting group. A lot of cancer patients that are going through treatments and chemotherapy, their family members go to work, have children, have commitments, and sometimes they can take them to these treatments and then put them into bed when they get home and stay with them and, bathe them and whatnot. And sometimes they can't because they got their kids, their own lives and work. So the support cancer group is, we've discovered, is such a great cause because these women in the support group are all survivors of cancer, all survivors of breast cancer. And they became a part of this group so that they go out and help other patients, pick them up, pay some utility bills, fill their refrigerator full of food, bring them home, bathe them, stay with them while they're going through their treatment, hold their hands. So if you're all listening, contact me. I'm President 5150 of Pirate Riders Motorcycle Club in Los Angeles. It's PYRATERYDERZMC@AOL.com. PirateRidersMC@AOL.com. Not a normal spelling, but that's how you can reach me.
Okay.
And
I would be
more than happy to direct that donation to the right cause, to the charity that we're supporting. And if you want to put your information, I would definitely give you a shout out because we really appreciate everybody that comes by and supports this event. Glendale Harley and L.A. Harley are supporting us 100%. And for Glendale Harley to let us do this event 1 week before their love ride, I've known them through 3 motorcycle purchases in about 15 years. And Oliver over at Glendale Harley has been behind me 100%. And Rose over in the motor clothes department has been behind me 100%. So give them a shout out for me if you happen to be in Glendale Harley or have the time to call them. Bikers Ride for Cancer Los Angeles, please support. I'm grateful, and I hope I didn't take too much of your airtime.
No problem.
This is important to us because this is not our show. It's all of our show, everybody. If there's no more questions tonight, if there's anybody else or no.
Go
ahead, y'all.
Oh, thank you. I was just listening to the guy there with Bikers Ride for Cancer. I just sent him a message. As a Canadian, and I just want to know all the information that I can get so I can send them a donation of some sort. As we spoke about, I've got cancer myself, so that hits me close to home. So what he's doing is a fabulous thing, and I wish I could shake his hand. And I congratulate him and all of you guys.
Thank you very much. I'm shaking your hand as we speak. I want to tell you how this started, actually. In Los Angeles, there's a lot of female motorcycle riders via sport bikes or Harleys or whatever other kind of motorcycle, as probably every other region in the country. Because this woman was stricken with breast cancer, a lot of her female friends got together and hit on other female friends. And at the end of that day, there was about 65, 70 female riders that reached into their pocket, pulled out some money, and paid her utility bills, bought her some gas for her truck to go back and forth. Helped her fill her refrigerator with food. It was just kind of a small thing. And all ended up at the Rare Breed MC Clubhouse for an event with some, hot links and some chicken and some beers and raised more money. And it was all about really helping Granny during her time of difficulty.
But brother, it's never a small thing. What you did,
when she was,
what the women did to get together and help that one woman just opened up a big can of greatness. And now you guys are involved, and Phil and Bill are involved. Everybody's getting involved. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and the actual woman that started that was my girlfriend, Freedom. I didn't want to punch her too much, but she was the one that started this, and Granny, the woman who rode the motorcycle at 63 years old, still does today, she was in remission and said, Rick, can we do this again, but instead let's give it to charity. Can we do that? And I said, well, that's a big undertaking, but we went ahead and did it. We're in our fourth year, and we couldn't be happier. We're actually very thrilled because now we're supporting two cancer charities. And, you know, I don't know if the entire country or actually the world, because the guy called in from Canada, you know, the Love Ride started with about 40, 50 guys in a bar, and it ended up at Pomona Fairgrounds with like 30,000 motorcycles.
Wow.
And, you know, that's how people are dedicated to solving problems for people in need.
Exactly.
And, you know, Oliver started something that was bigger than himself. And, you know, in like 4 weeks, we're going to be doing the Love Ride again. And in 3 weeks, we're embarking on our fourth year of the Bikers Ride for Cancer. And if everybody did a Google search, you'll find Bikers Ride for Cancer is all over the country. But we're doing Los Angeles for the charities that are local. And City of Hope is one of the cancer-fighting organizations here in the Los Angeles area, and they're huge. So cancer is bigger than us by far. And until everybody gets on board and pulls out their so-called monetary weapons and physical and mental and moral support, we're not going to win this battle against cancer. We're going to continue to lose people we love.
Exactly. Cancer is not a disease anymore. It's an epidemic.
Right. And just for a shout-out, and I hope this is respectable, Bubba from the East Bay Dragons and African from the Defiant Ones of Los Angeles both recently died 2 weeks ago of cancer. And they are OGs that have been in those clubs for over 50 years.
I heard about the East Bay Dragon guy. I didn't know the other guy, but I heard about the East Bay Dragon. That was pretty sad.
Yeah. And these are guys that were low-key, lovable guys. They just went on and did their business. And, you know, of course, were inflicted with cancer and passed away. But, you know, these are guys that have been around this motorcycle wearing a patch for 40, 50, 60 years. And my hat goes off to them, and I dedicate this particular conversation to those two guys, you know, Bubba from the East Bay Dragons and African from the Defiant Ones of Los Angeles.
I'll try to give my old friend Sugar Bear Choppers a call. Maybe he and I can ride in together. Bear and I haven't seen too much this year, and he and I are not no spring chickens, so maybe I get him to ride up with me.
I love Sugar Bear. He's my brother. We live real close to each other. And if he's listening, Sugar Bear, I'm still trying to get that chopper from you. I really, again, appreciate all you guys for listening in, calling in, and just supporting the Bikers Ride for Cancer Los Angeles. Again, it's Pirate Riders with two Y's and a Z, mc@aol.com.
All right.
We thank you.
You got seven more shows to talk about
whatever
anytime
you feel
you
comfortable.
Yeah.
I do
I'm
want
grateful.
To leave everybody reminding you one more time, please. Tomorrow is POWMIA Day. Please never forget we have left our sons and daughters in foreign lands who have either been killed or being held captive today, and we still are responsible for every American life overseas. Do not forget that. So many people don't even know. Tomorrow, POWMIA Day. Everybody have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.